we get things underway by talking Patriots as we welcome back to the program Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Chris, good afternoon.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first guy up in this lineup today?
We put the power hitter right at the top of the order.
I will try and set the table for what sounds like should be a terrific show this afternoon.
Confidence is high. You're rested and refreshed. You had a little vacation time, right?
I did. It was awesome, Rich. I got to tell you, I'm not so much up, you know, I don't really get up north all that often. I went south with my family to Cape Cod, and it was absolutely fantastic. I ate way too much seafood. I saw a bunch of Cape Cod Baseball League games. It was everything that I hoped it could be.
That's fantastic. So ready to go because 1 week from today, camp gets underway for the incredibly valuable Patriots. Forbes report today says they're worth $3.7 billion. That means a kickback to all the beat writers, doesn't it?
Exactly. We should see that, you know, when it comes to lunchtime every Wednesday during the season, they buy us pizza. You know, maybe we'll get extra toppings this year.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, let's talk about a piece you wrote on Boston Sports Journal about special teams guy Brandon King. He's pretty optimistic about things.
Yeah, he really is. And this is not just kind of, you know, preseason optimism. This is, you know, there is a sense around there, at least the guys who are in the locker room now, they believe that this could be a very special year. I still believe this team is, you know, on the short list when you're talking about genuine Super Bowl contenders, and I have not seen anything, you know, to dismiss that. I know there's a lot of talk about discord between the coach, the quarterback, and the tight end and all that, and I'm not going to completely dismiss that out of hand, but I think one of the things that's important to note is that, you know, when they hit the field on Thursday, we kind of will change the narrative a little bit. It will change the narrative a little bit because we'll have stuff to talk about. You know, who's going to play left tackle? Who's going to be, you know, the linebacker opposite Dante Hightower? Who's going to get the majority of reps at running back? So, like I said, things will change when, you know, they get out there on Thursday and, you know, the real football begins and the pads go on a couple days after that, then it's off to the league.
Christopher, it's Dennis Price. I'm in the studio here joining Rich. Christopher Price, also, by the way, the name of my brother. So I feel a connection already with you. But listen, somebody I loved watching play in college, I think they are going to be great. But could you talk a little bit about Sonny Michel's contract?
Yeah, this is a situation where there's no reason to be alarmed right now. I will say this. We have a magnificent cap guy, Miguel, who does a tremendous job, but, you know, reporting really on a lot of that stuff. And from what I've been able to glean from him, as well as talking to the people around the league, they're slotting guaranteed money at this point, and that's the debate. But I don't think this is going to be the kind of thing that's going to be a long-term holdup. He's going to be there in camp. He's actually, I believe, he's supposed to be part of a football clinic early next week, either late this week or early next week. I'm not 100% sure. So look, all things point to him being there on time. It's just a matter of having the T's crossed and the I's dotted at this point.
Yeah. Your colleague at Boston Sports Journal, Greg Bedard, wrote a piece about the big three and the importance of getting them all on the same page. How will we know that's happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. And my feeling is we're not going to know. Again, when football starts, and Greg raised this point in his column, look, I mean, it's not – Brady is just wired differently. And so any sort of ill will that might manifest itself between the coach and the quarterback and, you know, and all that is not going to be evident on the field when they take the field, because Brady is just such a maniac when it comes to preparing, when it comes to getting ready for the season, when it comes to, you know, wanting to win football games. The one thing in just kind of build off of Greg's point a little bit, the one thing I think that Brady specifically has left himself open for is second guessing if he starts the year slowly. If let's say, you know, they lose to the Texans and then they go down to Jacksonville and Brady has a stinker in Jacksonville for whatever reason, people are going to look back on the fact that he did not, fairly or unfairly, we'll look back on the fact that he did not show up for the voluntary portion of the spring workouts and say, well, you know, if he was only there for that, you know, maybe he could have built a better rapport with Sonny Michel or Jordan Matthews. So ultimately, I think to Greg's point, and I think this is the larger point here, the one guy who has the power to quash any sort of beef between, you know, the coach, the quarterback, the tight, you know, you can even work the tight end in the mix there, is the owner. And he needs to do a better job. If there is still discord out there, he needs to do a better job of getting all those guys in the same room and saying, look, let's work this out. Because at least historically, the one thing, if you're not the one thing, but one thing you can lean on if you're a Patriots fan, is these guys have really proven to be stone cold sober enough, and they realize that each one of them needs each other to succeed. And I think the owner getting them in the same room certainly helps out in that regard.
We're talking with Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Look, I'm not taking my shirt off at the beach anytime soon, but I did see the picture of Tom with his shirt off, and I think there's more than avocado ice cream and bottled water going into him.
It's pliability, Rich. It's all pliability these days. That, you know, that's what it's all about. Look, he's never going to be, and we've said this a million times, he's never going to be confused with a super athletic quarterback. But as long as he's there when the lights go on July 26th, and as long as he's making the throws, and as long as he's doing what he needs to do, and as long as he's preparing the way he needs to prepare, that's the biggest thing here. Whether you're talking about avocado ice cream or the magic pajamas or, you know, the bands or the pliability, what, you know, whatever you want to do. And I think that's a big part of the Guerrero stuff with him. If he needs that to realize, to get to a level where he's the best quarterback in the game, if he needs that, if that builds his confidence, that's great for him. And that, and I think the coach has kind of come around on that a little bit, but it's going to be interesting to see the way it all plays out. Because like you said, I mean, you know, he looks like he's, you know, there's a little bit more muscle definition there, but we'll see as the season goes on.
We talked about Sony Michel. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on another one of the young guys that I think is pretty intriguing, Braxton Berrios, ostensibly a slot receiver, but is he a guy that could make the team maybe primarily as a special teams player?
Braxton Berrios is going to be too good to be able to get through to the practice squad. That's my hot take for this phone call. Just, you know, you can cut that and use that in the promos.
Yeah, everybody has one.
Yeah, he's going to be too good to get through to the practice squad, and so they're going to be faced with a decision there. And I think he's going to make the team. I think that we need to manage the expectations around him, at least right now. This is not, you know, Julian Edelman circa 2009. But when you look at the skill set, when you look at the level of production he enjoyed in college, when you look at his special teams value, he certainly brings something to the table. And I think he's one of a handful of guys who really are going to get their opportunity over the first four games to be able to contribute in the wake of the suspension of Julian Edelman. You're going to see Braxton Berrios get a chance. You're going to see them lean more on James White in the passing game. But you're going to see a guy like Jordan Matthews maybe get some more reps in that slot position. He had some production there when he first came to the league with the Eagles. You're going to see maybe Riley McCarron as part of the mix there, maybe as a punt returner and a backup wide receiver. You're going to see them throw the ball to a bunch of guys in hopes of being able to replicate the level of production that they get usually with Julian Edelman. But Berrios is one of those guys, and he's going to be part of that conversation the first four games and going forward into the 2018 season.
Darrell Revis has announced his retirement after a long and successful career in the NFL. I've always felt that Patriots fans should remember his brief time in Foxborough quite fondly.
Yeah, they should. And it, granted, look, he was a mercenary, and I think that's the reality of the situation. But for that 1 year, he was one of the best cornerbacks we've ever seen here in New England. You know, you can put him in the same conversation with guys like Ty Law and Mike Haynes, but you know, what Revis meant to that team and meant to that defense, he's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player and deserves to be remembered as much. The other thing from a personal perspective, it was fun to get a chance to talk to him and kind of pick his brain a little bit, because he was one of those athletes who you always felt like he gave you something, whether it was a little nugget of information or something to look forward to, or you know, something to think about in the upcoming game, or something that made you go back and look at the film. He's a very unique guy from that perspective. Did a tremendous job with us in the media. And I also say this too, no one did a better job, no professional athlete that I can remember across any sport did a better job of maximizing his financial window than Darrell Revis.
All right, before we let you go, we're a week away from the start of camp. Who will be the first beat reporter to be on the receiving end of the Belichick stare?
Dreaded.
I don't know, but I'm going to take myself out of the running.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be me, but Boy, that's a good question. We got to start taking bets on that.
You're a seasoned pro. You know how to avoid
exactly,
those.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a time and a place to ask a Belichick, and we've had this conversation before, too. There's a time and a place to ask a Belichick question. You just got to know the lay of the land. You got to do a good job reading the room when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, Chris, always great to talk with you. We look forward to catching up with you throughout the course of the season. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Christopher Price, Boston Sports Journal, here on Downtown.